now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the, I had to stop and think again. It's the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. I'll tell you what, you put that holiday in the middle of the week, and it really messes with your mind, doesn't it? Thursday already. We're staring another weekend in the face. We have a good program today. Lots of guests with us, and we'll be meeting our first guests in just a moment or so here. A little bit later on the program, we'll have folks to tell us about a new, what's actually a nonprofit organization that's being formed to help deal with emergencies and disasters. And it could hardly be more timely that we are speaking to Rich Wilson today after the flash flooding that we had in the city of Butler last night. So we'll find out about that group. It's called the Pennsylvania Volunteers for Community Preparedness. So they'll be with us. And then Kent Shoemaker will be here a little bit later on the program today to tell us about a big event that's going on down in Penn Township. This is an annual event, and it's a fun thing, and the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department is involved, and they're good people down there. So it'll be good to see Kent a little bit later as well. But first, here in the studio, and I was telling my guests, just my luck, I'm the only guy locked in a studio with three women, and they're all nuns. Now, how about that? Is that my luck or what? Just kidding, of course. We have three members of the cast of the Musical Theater Guild Summer Show, which is nonsense, and it's one of the most hilarious and poignant and lovable shows I've ever seen, and I can't wait to see it again with some new cast members, I think. Let's say hello, first of all, to Paula Baptiste. Paula, good to see you, as always, my friend.
Good to see you, David.
Yeah, yeah. What role are you playing in this rendition of Nonsense?
I'm playing Mother Superior.
Oh, the big boss, huh?
Yeah.
Also with us is Sammy Roth. Sammy, am I being too familiar to call you Sammy? Is that okay?
No, it's okay.
Yeah? You don't want the formal, like, Ms. Samantha or anything like that?
No, too long.
What what part are you playing, Sammy?
I'm playing Sister Leo.
Sister Leo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have you, as we go through our conversation here, refresh my memories on which of the nuns is which. Also with us is Holly Furman. Holly, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Holly came in today, and I was shaking hands, and she could see that look in my eye that I was just a little bit unsure. And I said, have we met before? And Holly said,
yes, we have.
You were in the Summer Dramatics project.
Yes, I was. I was in the most recent production of The Music Man that they did, I think, 3 or 4 years ago now. Mm-hmm. I was Marion the Librarian, so a few years ago, and we both look a little bit different.
I was going to say, you were a little younger, and so was I. So forgive me for not remembering. That's a good show, by the way. You would have made a good Marion.
Thank you.
I didn't see that particular production. And which nun are you playing?
I am Sister Mary Amnesia.
All I have to do is hear these character names again, and I start to smile. It's such a great show. It's a great show. Details. Paula Baptiste, where, what venue, and when does it open, and so on and so forth?
We are at the William A. Leonard Performance Hall, which is at the MTG building in the recently washed-out Memorial Park. We had some cast members get stuck there last evening. With the storms.
Now, there's no problem with the performance hall with the building. That sits high above the creek.
Absolutely not.
But
yes.
The road in from the through the woods there is a little low-lying next to the creek bed.
Yes. So, no, it's just fine. I was just, that was a little joke within our group that these people got stuck last night. So, anyway, yes, we will be there July 14th, 15th, 16th, and 21, 22, 23.
So that's
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
2 weekends in a row.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And the Sunday's a matinee.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. 6 shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if past sellouts at the MTG Summer Show are any indication. Better get your seats early. Huh?
That's true. Our Sunday is one seat. The first Sunday, the 16th, is 1 seat away from being sold out. And the other shows are at least halfway filled. So I imagine that they're going to fill up very quickly. If you want to get your tickets, I would hop online and do that.
I got disappointed one year. It's quite a few years ago now. I dilly-dallied around and went to go the last day, and it was sold out already. So I thought perhaps I, you know, all my involvement with MTG maybe have a little influence.
Yeah.
Nope, didn't work. No, didn't work. Well, they're popular. It's a very... it's an intimate staging of shows when you do it at the William A. Leonard Production Center.
Absolutely, yeah. So we don't really have room to accommodate additional people, so that's why we have to keep our venue, you know, keep our number of seats very exact.
On the other hand, you're right up next to the actors, so it's very, how do they say, on team. Have you ever done shows down there before, Holly?
I actually haven't done a show with MTG before.
So this is my
with
first
MTG
one. At all? Well, it's quite a bit different when you do it on stage at the Suck Up, because that's more of a traditional stage.
Right.
I assume you've been rehearsing down at the production center. I mean, you are eyeball to eyeball with the audience. Yeah, which is great fun, by the way. Yeah. Have you ever done a show down there?
No, Jane? I teched a Mother musical last year, so I really wanted to work with Patrick, so it's been exciting.
There's no theater that I ever worked that was anywhere close to that, except, and none of you, certainly you two would not know this, Paula, were you ever at the Silver Fox Theater up in St. Petersburg?
I attended a show there when I was in college, yeah.
Yeah. I did several shows there, and that was up close and personal, too.
For sure.
You were right next to
Contra Theater is very similar
true.
That way.
Yeah, I haven't done a show there in a long, long time. And nobody's done one at the Silver Fox for a long, long time. I've been out of business for ages. Well, at any rate, it's a different experience for the actors, and it's a wonderful experience for the audience, because you are really, you're right in the lap of the actors. It's great fun. I can't imagine a show that would work any better in this kind of a setting than yours, than Nonsense, because it's very much kind of an audience. You want to involve the audience, Holly, right?
Exactly, yeah. There's a couple different points in the show where we're either singing with the audience members or talking directly with them. I know there's one scene that I have where I get to converse with a lot of different audience members, and it's more fun, I think, to be able to feed off of the audience and to not just have the fun of performing on stage, but be able to enjoy that fun with your audience members as well.
So you're breaking the third wall, right? Isn't that actor's terminology when you talk directly to the audience? Yeah. Ordinarily, you don't dare do that. You don't want to break character in a show. Just the opposite in this show. Well, let me talk a little bit about the characters now that we know. This show opens next weekend. It'll be the next 2 weekends, not this weekend, not tomorrow, but the following Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the one after that. By the way, you can get tickets in advance. You can do it online now, don't you?
Yeah. If you go to www.mtgbutler.org, you can order your lines. We have a brand-new website. It's real easy. Click and order.
Great. Well, once you get onto that, once you've done it two or three times, it's great.
Right. You just print your ticket, and then they scan that when you come in the door. Just like at the other venues, a lot of people are doing that now. So
yeah, and most of the Pittsburgh theaters are now doing that too. So it's pretty easy. And we'll give you the web address again before we wrap up here, so don't worry about it. You'll be able to get your tickets. And again, don't dilly-dally around. Let's talk with Sam here, Sammy Roth, about Sister Leo. What sort of a character is Sister Leo?
She's a really fun character for me to play because not only is she a dancer, and I am also a dancer, and I take a lot of dance classes, but she's definitely a step back from what I would usually do. She's very funny, but she's a lot more quiet than any character I'm used to playing, so it's kind of neat to see myself experience that.
I'm just carrying on here. Like, I'm assuming that most everybody in the audience has either seen Nonsense or is somewhat familiar with the show. And I suddenly realized that there's probably some people who are not. Folks, this is a wonderful show. It's sweet. It's hilarious. It's not at all sacrilegious, so don't worry about that. It's in fact, sometimes you get the biggest laughs from real nuns who are in the audience attending it. Let me give you the first line of the synopsis of the show if you're not familiar with it. 5 of the 19 surviving Little Sisters of Hoboken, a one-time missionary order that ran a leper colony on an island south of France, discover that their cook, Sister Julia, Child of God, accidentally killed the other 52 residents of the convent with her tainted vichyssoise. Okay, there's the quick one-line summary of the show. Are you seeing that this is pretty funny?
It could happen.
It could happen. How many of these surviving sisters are still alive and make up the cast of the show? Obviously, we have three of you here.
Right, there are 19 that are still alive.
Mm-hmm. And how
but
many?
These are the very best of us that are left.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of other characters, right?
Yeah, so there's Mother Superior here, Sister Leo, Sister Amnesia, and then mm-hmm. the other two, Tammy Erkman is playing Sister Robert Ann, and she is from Brooklyn and has a little bit more attitude. And then Chris Lilly is going to be playing Sister Hubert, who is the mistress of the novices and is trying to lead us all in the right direction through the foibles that we fall into.
And Sister Robert Ann is the one that's on roller skates, right? Is that Robert Ann?
No.
Isn't somebody on roller skates?
No.
I may be thinking
of
one of the others.
It could be Nonsense 2, maybe. I don't know.
Or Nonsense 5 or 6.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, there's several versions.
This has been so popular, and it's been around for 30 years, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, 85 or something, I think.
Yeah, started off Broadway. I did a little bit of research on its history off-Broadway. I don't remember the exact number of performances. I think it was 1,400 or something like that. Second longest running show in the history of off-Broadway. The first one, of course, is a classic. Try to remember that kind of September.
Fantastics?
The Fantastics. Thank you very
good
much.
Good job. She gets a prize, Sammy.
That's right. But this was number two after the Fantastics. And it's just a very, very funny show. Some of the sequels. Have you seen any of the other ones? MTG has produced a couple, haven't they?
I think they did Nonsense 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's Nonsense 2. Then there's the Nonsense Christmas musical. There's Meshuggah Nuns. That's when they're on a cruise with the onboard cast of Fiddler on the Roof, and they all get sick, so the nuns have to perform Fiddler on the Roof. And then the newest one, which I have not heard of, called Nunset Boulevard.
Oh.
So the guy who, I assume it's the same guy that wrote the first one, Dan Goggin is his name. The guy must be a comedic genius to keep cranking these out.
Maybe he's a funny group of friends. I can imagine people sitting around writing this together.
We're just going to have to do them all now.
Yeah. I like working for National Lampoon, you know, where they just sit around the table. I always thought that would be the ideal job.
Oh, that would be great.
Because
you play off other people's energy, so that would be a lot of fun.
I imagine that you do that in the show as well. Mm-hmm. Did you know everybody in the show before you started rehearsing? Holly?
I knew Sammy from The Music Man, but everyone else I did not know.
Mm-hmm. We have a nice cross-section of ages here, too.
Yeah.
You two would be the youngest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't go there, Dave.
I wasn't going there. How do you know where I was going?
Just a little caution there.
You're the one that said you saw a show at Silver Fox. I was in a show at Silver Fox.
Paul was one of my teachers in sixth grade.
Yep. Sammy and I go back to sixth grade.
That's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, do you wear the habits that nuns used to wear? Are you costumed in habits?
Yes,
we are. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if nuns actually wear cotton. We wear polyester, and I really wish that our order wore cotton.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be quite warm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, nuns don't wear those things anymore.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, they just, you know, dress in ordinary civilian clothes. But part of the charm of the show is seeing the nuns in the old
throwback fashion
habits, you know, the black robes and the...
As we say in the show, we wear our habits to retain our magic spell. So what that magic spell entails...
We can't say.
We can't say, but...
There's even a song about the habits, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nonsense is habit forming.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I couldn't remember the title. What about the music in this show? It's actually kind of a variety of different styles, isn't it, Paula?
Yeah, there's a little bit of country in there, and there's some, like, doo-wop, you know, kind of throwbacks, and, yeah, a little bit of everything.
So it's not what you would say is constantly, you know, Broadway show music like Oklahoma.
I would say you never know what to expect from this show.
Mm-hmm. In more ways than one, I should think, yeah. What are you doing for, do you have a pit band or a combo or something?
Yeah, Jessica Sanzotti will be leading our band. I think it's just a few pieces. Mm-hmm. Perhaps we don't have a ton of room down there, so we have to be judicious about the space.
She's the best. You could probably do it if it was just her by herself.
She could.
She is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. What about, is she doing the musical direction as well, or do you have somebody else doing that?
Yes, she's done all of the music for us.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow. All right, do you have a director, or are you kind of self-directing, or how's that going?
Our director is Patrick Erkman.
Oh, okay. Patrick, yeah.
Yeah, great guy to work with.
And a veteran of many shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally appreciate him since he has the perfect amount of direction showing his vision, but allowing you to enhance your character and kind of develop that yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We have a lot of fun, and he helps to encourage us and bring some joy to the show, too.
This is a summer show. It's a lot different than doing a show in the dead of winter when nothing better to do than go to rehearsal on a Tuesday night. How have you managed that? Have you had a strenuous rehearsal schedule, or did you wait until the last few weeks and then really put the coal to it, or how have you been doing this?
I think since it's in summer, it's actually a really dedicated group of people because, you know, it's your summer vacation and a lot of people want to be out doing stuff, and the fact that we're able to find time and come together and still put on a musical shows that it's going to be a great performance.
Yeah, good point. Now, you mentioned, Sammy, that you're a dancer, right?
Yes.
Do you get to show off your dancing skills as Sister Leo?
I do. She does a lot of dancing. There's point, and all of us tap in the musical, so there'll be a lot of dancing.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
That's, I'm not a dancer, but that's like the toughest thing, isn't it, tap? I mean,
it's a challenge.
Yeah. I've always heard that the great musical, oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank on my titles here today. It's the one that's all tap dancing.
42nd Street?
On a ship, you know.
42nd Street? No, it's not it.
No, it's not 42nd Street. I feel like I'm on Jeopardy here.
Now, if the third caller gets this, give him a prize.
But one of the drawbacks for people doing it is that the entire cast has
anything goes.
Tapped. Anything
yeah.
goes.
Yeah. I win.
With Reno, right? Reno Sweeney. Yeah. Everybody has to tap.
Mm-hmm.
And there are not many amateur groups that can, you know, put a whole bunch of people on there that can all even half tap dance.
I will admit that Chris Lilly and I are taking tap dancing lessons because we felt very out of our comfort zone.
Oh, good for you.
But that has been really fun. It's at Mandy's Dance Studio that we've been doing it, and they've been doing a great job taking us from where we started with very minimal experience and just kind of laughing at ourselves to actually being able to feel like we're doing a decent job. I don't know how it looks necessarily, but I feel like we're doing a pretty good job.
Our choreographer, Shadow, too, is really well trained in tap, so he's definitely been taking it slow and making sure we're all really prepared and it's going to look good.
Mm-hmm. You have to tap, you're all on stage at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense? Everybody has to match. That makes
sense. Yep.
you can fake it if you're doing it yourself. Here's a stupid question. Folks, we're talking with the three members of the cast of the Musical Theater Guild's summer show. It's Nonsense. It's the original Nonsense. There have been several iterations since then. But this is the original, perhaps the funniest. And it really is. It's a hilarious, hilarious musical. It's not this weekend, but the next two. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, next weekend, and then the following one at the William A. Leonard Production Center at Butler Memorial Park. We were talking about tap dancing previously. This is a silly question because I'm not a dancer. Do you have to change shoes whenever you're going to do the tap number?
Yes.
You do?
On stage. It's really quick.
I was going to say, this presents a problem because how are you going to get off stage? You just do it on stage, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you couldn't wear tap shoes. Otherwise, you'd either fall and break a leg or make a racket walking around with those things
on.
Right after one of my songs, I have to get my point shoes off really quickly, which is a really big challenge because you have to tie them and untie them, and I have to get another pair of shoes on
You're saying point shoes?
Yep.
Point like ballet?
Yes.
You're a ballet dancer too?
Yes.
Goodness gracious. So there's you get to really show off your musical theater chops when you're doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're not only doing ballet and tap, but you're doing it while you're wearing a nun's habit.
Yeah, that's hard too.
Yeah, have you practiced in those? Because they're easy to trip on, you know.
That's this coming week.
Uh-huh.
We go into tech rehearsals this
better
week.
Better schedule an extra practice or two.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they go the whole way down to your feet, you know. Unless you wear them short. You could do that too.
I guess.
It's a little risque for a nun.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how short you're thinking there.
This is nonsense, you know? What do you want? It is really, really a great show. Have you done other performances of this show, Paula?
I've never done this show. I've only seen it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you ladies have not done it either.
I have not.
Have you seen it?
No.
No?
I have not either. There's a DVD sitting on my shelf of it that I should have watched already, but I have not.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you about that because there are, you know, video versions of it. Mm-hmm. I think it was, I'm not sure it was made into a film. I think it was. But a lot of times when amateur groups are doing something like that, they don't want you to watch, you know, in advance because they figure it might color your performance a little bit, you know.
I personally think before looking into anyone else's characterization of the person that you're portraying, that it's best for you to kind of develop that character yourself and then kind of look and see what they did with it. That way you're not necessarily doing their version, but you can kind of see what they did with it and maybe help that to play in with it. So that was my original intent with having that sitting there, and then I just, you know, didn't quite get around to it
actually,
yet.
I kind of agree with you, especially when you're doing a show or a part that's extremely well known. The classic example that comes to mind is Wizard of Oz, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a couple of amateur productions. It's done a lot by high schools and so on. And I've actually heard people come in and say, well, she was okay, but she wasn't Judy Garland. And I just feel like turning around and saying, well, of course she wasn't Judy Garland, you moron. that's Judy Garland. This is a different production. It's a different presentation, you know. She's not up there trying to imitate Judy Garland or Bert Lahr or any of those other people, you know. Mm-hmm. It's live theater. It's not like watching the movie where it's the same as it was 25 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Different every night, right?
And there's definitely things you won't pick up on every night. There's definitely things that they send me home, jokes I didn't even know, and I had to go home and watch YouTube videos and understand characters and different scenes to make sure I understood what I was saying. So there's definitely things you might not catch the first time you see it, and you'll see it again and see what you missed.
Well, the other thing that happens is, and I can speak to Paula in particular because she's a veteran of many, many productions, you work off the audience.
Oh, for sure.
And there are some nights when the audience is much more lively than it was the night before or the week before. Now, that's not to say that the previous one was bad, but sometimes, and you can tell from the get-go whether you've got a lively house or not. And that changes the whole performance many times.
Absolutely. And then even in rehearsal, you don't necessarily know something's funny until the first audience is there. And so sometimes it catches you off guard if no one's laughed at a certain line before. You're like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then you milk that the next night, and you realize it's not funny to them. So you got to watch.
But if you get a really lively house who's really with you, you'll find, you know, you get to the end of the show and say, oh, 10 minutes longer than it was last night because of laughs and everything else.
Oh, that's a good thing, though. Laughter is just wonderful medicine, so.
Well, there's a ton of it in this show.
Yes.
That's for sure. Tell me a little bit, refresh my memory, because I haven't seen it in a while. Is there an intermission, or does this play straight through?
Two acts.
Two acts? Okay. And does it take place all in the, you know, is it like all in the convent, or are there different locales, different scene locations?
Well, the show takes place at the theater of Mount St. Helens School, and the eighth graders there are putting on a production of Grease. So
also, it's on the
we're on the
set stage of the
of
I got
Grease.
You.
The set with little quotes around it.
You mean you're doing nonsense on the set of Grease?
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
I tell you, this guy is a brilliant. He has a funny. He has a twisted mind. The guy that wrote this show, he really does. Yeah. Nonsense. I don't want to say it's my favorite show, but if you're talking about funny shows, warm shows, it's one of my top three.
Mm-hmm,
I can see it any time at the drop of a hat. I could say the same thing about Funny Thing Up on the Way to the Forum.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I laugh just thinking about it. I laugh just thinking about some of these characters, these nuns. Sister Leo. Leo's a man's name, by the way. But that happens a lot when nuns take names.
I know that.
Yeah. Does the Mother Superior have a name, or is she just the big boss?
Mary Regina.
Ah, okay. Well, that's the Latin word for queen, so that would be very...
There you go.
Very adequate for the top boss, the Mother Superior. And it's Sister Mary Ann...
Amnesia.
Mary Amnesia?
Yes.
I'm assuming that character name has something to do with your
character, yes. She, as far as anyone knows, all she remembers is that she got hit in the head with a crucifix as a nun, and she doesn't remember who she is. So she comes in to this convent with these nuns, and she doesn't remember who she is, and they don't either.
She doesn't remember a lot of stuff.
I actually get tears in my eyes when I do. I have forgotten about that. She lost her memory when she was hit on the head with a crucifix. Mm-hmm. Folks, this is don't get the wrong impression. This is not sacrilegious. In fact, it's a very warm show.
Mm-hmm,
it's just hilarious. I mean, just absolutely hilarious. There's the nun that baked the poison cookies. There, the Vichyssoise. Does she survive? She's still around? Is she still cooking for the rest of the nuns, or is she
goodness.
Gone?
Yeah, she's around and getting herself into trouble with more bad recipes. But we don't meet her. She's off stage, busy in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. What about, do the authorities know anything about this mass death at the convent?
Well, there are some concerns about that, yes.
You mean the police didn't know?
Well, let's say we're trying to sort things out, and it's taken some time, but we realize that the Board of Health may soon be involved and that we need to keep moving. We ran out of money. That's why we're having the fundraiser. So.
Oh, that's why you're putting on the show.
Huh? Right, exactly.
Yeah. You might even say, knowing the show, that the assets were frozen.
Yes, there you go.
I see. Well, that happens sometimes when banks do that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me about songs. Are there solos, or are most of the numbers done in ensemble or duet, Holly?
I think there's a good mix of all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a couple songs that, for instance, Chris and Sammy are both in a couple songs that are a duet between the two of them, since she's a novice nun, and then the mistress of the novices would be having conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think each of us has one or two solos as well, pretty much well spaced throughout the show. And there's a lot of the ensemble numbers together as well, with lots of fun choreography for us to enjoy.
I remember this show as being lots of like quick vignettes. Am I remembering that correctly? As opposed to really long scenes?
Yes, yes, definitely.
You know, kind of
quick on and off.
Yeah,
I think the show will go very quickly. The second act flies by,
yes,
especially. But the show runs about an hour and a half.
They're not serving Vichyssoise at intermission, are they?
That is a great idea. We could raise some more money.
Yeah, actually.
We should do that. We'll get Sister Julia on.
I can be your idea man here.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Just put a big sign on it that says Vichyssoise. See how many people take it. I love this show. I can tell you're having a great time doing it, that's for sure. But you have a whole other week of rehearsal, right? So you'll be hitting it pretty hard over the next 7 days or so.
Mm-hmm. Busy week.
Well, you don't have to worry about changing costumes. You have to change your shoes, but you don't have to worry about changing costumes, which is always
That is very true.
Something to worry about when you're doing a musical. Sometimes you don't have very much time to do that. Yeah. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Musical Theater Guild of Butler at the William A. Leonard Performance Hall at the far end of Memorial Park. The late Bill Leonard was one of the founders of the Musical Theater Guild. You young ladies probably wouldn't know that. Maybe you know him by legend. You knew Bill, didn't you,
Absolutely.
Paula?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great theater man in other parts of the country, New York, Michigan State. He did a lot of theater there. We were blessed to have him here. And thanks to his generosity, we have the William A. Leonard Performance Hall. Now, that'll be the locale. You can get your tickets in advance, and that's advisable. And you can do that online. How, Paula Baptiste?
mtgbutler.org, or you can call 724-28-STAGE, and the real numbers are 724-287-8243. You can leave a message, and if someone's not there, we'll call you back and take care of payment and get your seats reserved.
Six performances all told over two weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, July 14, 15, 16. And then the next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. The Sundays are matinees, right?
That's correct. The Friday, Saturday start at 7:30, and the Sunday performances start at 3 p.m.
Okay. Enjoy the show, folks. Take a tissue, not to cry. You'll be wiping tears of laughter away. That's what you'll be doing. Thank you, Paula Baptiste. Always good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. And Holly Furman,
thank you.
And Sammy Roth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you here today. Much more to come. By the way, I want to tell you about tomorrow before I forget. On tomorrow's program, we will be talking about the upcoming anniversary celebration down in Saxonburg. They're going to be marking 185 years since John Roebling founded the community, and they're also marking his invention of wire rope, which, of course, enabled the construction of suspension bridges, and we all know the story of Roebling and the Brooklyn Bridge. With us tomorrow, Clifford Zink, who wrote the book The Roebling Legacy on how John Roebling founded Saxonburg and went on to invent wire rope. And also with us tomorrow, Fred Caesar from the Saxonburg Historical and Restoration Commission. We'll be talking about the fascinating history of Saxonburg and also details on that big event, which is coming up later in the month. Okay, quick break, and then back with more guests on It's Your Turn here on WISR Thursday edition. We'll be back after these words.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus,
we're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus,
we're going your way.
If you're tired of being fed to death by the big banks, now is a great time to join the Butler Armco Employees Credit Union. With more free services like checking, online banking, mobile banking, and check deposits by phone, along with the best rates around on autos, home equity loans, and mortgages, you'll quickly see why over 26,000 members have chosen BAECU for their banking needs. It's never been easier to join, so stop in or join online at BAECU.com. You and your wallet will be happy you did. BAECU is federally insured by NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender.
Join us on Wednesday, July 12th for Butler Radio Network Night at the Blue Sox game. Rock out to a live performance by Butler's own Lions in America. Play games like Cornhole, Speed Stack, and a little something we like to call Name That Tune. Lots of chances to win some awesome prizes. Kelly Automotive Park, the fun begins at 5 p.m. First pitch at 6:35 p.m. Come on an empty stomach so you can enjoy the Dollar Dog Night. You don't want to miss the summer night of excitement. See you at the ballpark.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. On the next segment of the program, we welcome Rich Wilson to tell about. And, folks, this is purely by accident. We set up this program actually some weeks ago, never knowing, my goodness, that we would have a disaster here in the city of Butler with flash flooding last night. A lot of damage and just a lot of real heartache for people. But that's what we're going to talk about with Rich Wilson. We're going to be talking about a new nonprofit corporation being formed here in Butler County. And Rich, I got to tell you, I was not familiar with this organization. I understand it's been in operation in other parts of the state, other parts of the country.
Well, not this organization, but things like this, organizations like this, and what we're called is Pennsylvania Volunteers, and we're a 501c3 charitable organization. And we just started this in Pennsylvania probably about 4 months ago.
And you're a statewide officer, are you not?
Yes, I'm one of the vice presidents. Yeah. And primarily what we're doing is we're focusing on Butler County to be the benchmark county when we're putting this together. And we're actually part of VOAD, which is, you know, voluntary organizations during emergencies, okay, and disasters. So you're talking about things like the Red Cross and UMCOR and, you know, Salvation Army. There's like 40 of them or so that help whenever disasters hit. Now, we are part of that. And what the role that we play is, when we went to the VOAD meetings, one of the things that we found is there's very little volunteerism anymore. It's hard to get volunteers. Years ago, I'm sure, you know, I know I remember, Dave, so, you know, of course I may be a little older than you, but I remember that any time there was a fire or a disaster, we could always count on the truck pulling in from the Red Cross or the canteen, remember, from the Salvation Army canteen. Mm-hmm. And for years we had one here, and unfortunately the gentleman who ran that passed away. And do they still have the canteen? Sure. Do they still have the material and the equipment? Yeah. They have nobody to do it. Mm-hmm. so it doesn't happen anymore.
And the Red Cross is a regional organization now. They still do good work, but there's not an office in Butler anymore.
There's not an office in a lot of places anymore. Mm-hmm. So consequently, the volunteerism is almost non-existent in most areas. So in taking that into consideration and talking to a lot of different groups and organizations, we thought, okay, let's put one together. And then we find out that a lot of other states already have something similar to this, but not like this. They'll have specific groups. Like they'll have a group of people who are all Red Cross people or all people who take CERT training. And that's the end of it. So what we decided was we're going to do something really unique and start a group that acts like an umbrella so that we can train people in all different areas. So we can train, we can have people trained as CERT, which is community emergency response teams, okay? Actually, starting at 14 years of age, they have a teen CERT training program. So you know, just between you and me, Dave, and nobody else in this county, except for all those of you who are smart enough to listen to this, we're actually going to be starting an explorer post for this, which is, you know, young men and women starting at the age of 14 years old and actually get them involved in this as well, because it could be a very strong career choice for them. So this gives us the ability to train with PEMA and FEMA and Homeland Security, gives us the advantage to bring in other VOAD groups like the Red Cross, Corps, Salvation Army, anyone else who has training that they want to make available, and train these people to be able to help support the emergency services when an emergency arises. Now, to that end, that's exactly what we do. We're a support group, which means when an emergency happens, your fire company, police, ambulance, whatever, sometimes they'll have to peel away anywhere between 5 to 20%, depending on the situation, just to handle the mundane things that have to be handled, directing traffic, handling small areas, registration, whatever needs to be done. So what our goal is we're there to take care of that so that the trained professionals can spend 100% of their time with 100% of their people to take care of the people in the community. That's our goal. That's what we're doing. We have about 40 people right now in the county. We have a special event coming up on Monday, this coming Monday, at the American Legion in Lindora, the one with the big tank out front. If anybody's not seen it, that's what if you don't see a big tank out front, you're at the wrong one. It starts at 6:30, and we're actually going to be doing this with our first VOAD partner that we're bringing in with this is the American Red Cross. And one of the things that they're going to be talking about is, they're actually going to be showing everybody who shows up and do a little bit of training right then and there on the touch-only CPR. You no longer have to breathe into somebody's mouth. You can just, by the way you touch their chest and how you push on their chest, you can revive them without having that. So they're going to show everybody how to do that.
You know, I was reading a story about that where when the whatever that was called, CPR, when you breathe into somebody's mouth, when that first came out, there were a lot of people doing that. And then we started to get more information about scary contagious diseases and kind of other stuff. And it was just, it was a natural reaction for people to say, I just don't know whether I want to do that or not.
Yeah, I'll stand by and watch. Yeah. Thank you, but no.
And from what I understand, this new, relatively new technique, it's tried and tested. It works extremely well.
It works extremely well.
Yeah.
But the problem is a lot of people don't know how to do that. And that's one of the things that they're going to cover. The other thing that they're going to talk about, because they're going to do about an hour of the program, and then we're going to be talking about the different other things that other training that's coming up and the other things that we do, is something called the community shelter training. It's something that I was talking to Steve Weishaus, the Butler County Director of Emergency Services. I talked to him probably about a month and a half ago. And he says, you know, Rich, that's one of the areas that we really could use some help. And what that is the Red Cross has the ability to come in and help, I don't know, maybe up to like 100,000 people with sheltering things. If they need it. Problem is, there's only 5 people in the county right now that are capable of doing that. So if you have people displaced and you're waiting for 5 people to get everything done, it's not going to happen. Meanwhile, what do you do with your kids? What do you do with your, you know, aged family members or those with disabilities or whatever the case may be? So it's one of those kind of things that we have to be aware and be ready for that. All training, by the way, that we provide is free. It doesn't cost anybody to take the training. Now, there may be occasions where, you know, if you know, we can't get things printed up, it may end up having to cost them a couple bucks for the printed material that they need. But the training itself, we make sure it's available for free.
What about actual operations? Will these people have to be available to be, I don't know what terminology would be, on call in case of an emergency?
Well, what will happen is the fact that they will, because it's a volunteer, they're volunteers. It's like a volunteer fire company. A call will go out, and, you know, if, you know, probably by phone tree or and by radio, different places like that, we'll be able to contact them and say, hey, we have something we need activated. Because we have to be activated by something. So, in other words, Steve Bicehouse could say, hey, we need you guys. We have a flood. Okay? This is not something where we just report because, oh, we got to do this.
Yeah, I got you.
You don't do that. Mm-hmm. You have to follow the rules and the direction of, you know, people like that.
Well, that would be very similar to, because I'm a member of the LEPC here at Butler County, Local Emergency Planning Committee. We oversee the operations of Team 100, the hazmat team.
Right.
And there is strict protocol.
Absolutely.
If there's a, you know, tanker truck or something that overturns on a highway or whatever, a railroad tanker car is leaking, they just don't automatically go.
No.
There's
no
protocol. You have to be requested, called out by the proper personnel.
Absolutely.
Could be the Steve Bicehouse, the director of emergency services. It could be a fire chief or something like that.
Right.
But it's all strictly by protocol.
It could be the fire chief. It could be, you know, in some long term things, it could be other VOAD organizations. Mm-hmm. I just got an email the other day from the Red Cross, American Red Cross. It said, we're going to be needing some of these shelter people if you can donate some time. It looks like within 2 weeks we'll know, but we're going to need people in Florida, in Texas, in Los Angeles. And if you can volunteer to do this, we'll get you out there. We'll put you up. You know, the days are about 10-hour days. And you're going to be there for probably about 2 weeks. But these people drastically need the help. Now, when you think about that, that's the same kind of thing that could happen in Butler County. What if it was us? Yeah. How wonderful that would be to know that other groups from other areas who are trained exactly the same way that we are can come in here. Their neighbors, their friends are coming here. People. We're not talking about a military force. We're talking about people who live in neighborhoods, people who have families, who understand that relationship, come in and be able to help us.
I want to talk a bit more about this, but just in case there are people that have to leave us, a lot of folks listen to the radio in the car, and they're thinking, well, I could be interested in this. Do they have to pre-register to come to this event this coming Monday?
No.
Or what's the deal on that?
No. Just show up.
Okay.
And like I said, we have training for anywhere between 14 years to, if you can sit in a chair and write a name out, you can do this. Everybody has something that they can offer. And we'll make sure that the training, but there's no prerequisite. You don't have to pre-register for this. It starts at 6:30. Steve Bicehouse is going to be speaking. So is Leslie Oshie, the chairman of the County Commissioners. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, she was also the executive director of United Way.
Yeah.
And she was here during the big flooding and the tornado that we've had in the past, and she did quite a great job in organizing the people together, and it was almost like its own little form of VOAD, as she likes to say it, and it's true.
Yeah, we've had a couple of remnants of hurricanes within the past decade, of course, a little bit further back, the killer tornado.
Yep.
Actually, we were reminiscing early this morning here at the Butler Radio Group about, because people were saying, how could just the city of Butler get hit this hard? Because there were people that came into work today and said,
sure,
we didn't get a drop of rain. Well, it was very concentrated in one spot, and it rained for like 2 hours. It rained to beat heck. And I'd mentioned, you know, that's what happened 20, 25 years ago, whenever it was, we had the horrible disaster in Brady's Bend. I think there were 9 people who died.
Yes.
In flash flooding there. It just rained for like 4 hours up around Hooker or Keppel's Corners or somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nowhere else. And all that water went down that gorge, and it just, I went down in after in the wake of that disaster. There were cars up in trees down there.
Yes.
In Brady's Bend. It just went crazy. All of a sudden, people had no warning at all. I mean, it was just...
No warning. They have no shelter. They have mm-hmm. no food. They have no clothing. They have nothing. Nothing. And unfortunately, they turn around and they think to themselves, and when you talk to the average person, they say, well, no problem, because if something like that happens, the government will take care of me. So here's a quick little question for you. What's the average, what percentage of people within the United States, in communities, counties, states, do you think have any form of emergency management training? This is fire, police, volunteer firemen, ambulance, scouting, anything that can help their neighbors. What percentage do you think that would be? Go ahead, Dave. Tell me. What do you think?
I would say 5%, no more than that.
Okay. 1%.
Wow.
Do you know how much it is in Butler County?
0.75. Wow.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
So I do want to read something real quick that I got from Steve Bunnyshouse.
Just a second. We may have a comment or a question from a listener here.
Yeah.
Caller, this is Dave. Do you have a comment or a question for Rich Wilson here about what we're discussing?
Well, I might be able to help him a little bit. We used to do this, Butler County, working with the Red Cross,
mm-hmm.
probably 20, 25 years ago. The Butler County Amateur Radio Association provided communications.
Mm-hmm.
When there was no power, et cetera. And because of lack of participation and lack of interest, the group fell apart. But there are still people out there that work with Red Cross, with amateur radio, who do provide communications. And that would be nice to get something involved with. So this program isn't anything new. It was. Maybe he is, but 25 years ago, amateur radio did this on their own all the time. I remember going out many, many, many disasters helping people.
Well, we appreciate your call. It's a good point. Thanks much.
Thank you.
And we're also...
And stop by. Stop by Monday night.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is we're not just doing communications. We're doing everything. We're directing traffic. We're doing some light medical care. We're doing search and rescue. We're getting trained in and all of that. However, one of the people who's going to be the primary speaker for that is the regional disaster resource officer from Pittsburgh. He's like the man, and he's the one who's coming to do that. So it'll be interesting to have you there and talk with him and see and become part of this. There's also RACI now and the organizations that help at the control center who handle that kind of emergencies now, right through the 911 center.
And some of these, she mentioned, there have been groups in the past, but they've gone by the wayside for one reason or another. Heck, there used to be something called civil defense. Remember that?
I still have a hat.
Do you? I was not involved in it, but I can remember.
I was.
That's... Sometimes it's just natural attrition, but these groups aren't around anymore.
Well, the reason they're not around anymore, quite honestly, is because they train for specific things a lot of times. Not always, but mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't happen, then you say, well, I took all this training, and now what am I going to do with it? So that's one of the reasons why, as a group like this, we do a myriad of different training and get everything going on, and not only training, but also we will actually go out and do, you know, events where we're actually doing things and showing people things.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it keeps the interest going because there's always something available that they can do. There's always help that they're needed in. I would like to, like I was going to say, I would like to read
please
a statement that I just got from Steve Beishouse, who was going to be speaking. Him and Amy were going to come in here, Amy and Marie.
Suddenly they're busy today after last night.
Yeah. You know, well, just to show you the dedication of these people, Steve writes me an email yesterday, and it says, Rich, as it's 1:30 a.m., as I'm writing this, and the amount of flooding the city and the township received last night and today, I cannot commit Amy and I at all. Today will be filled with damage assessments and visits with the local EMS as well as PEMA. If we can clear up and tend, we'll make every effort to do so. Steve. And then this morning at 11:05, he wrote to me, he says, this, I think that it is a reinforces the need for a strong network of trained and controlled volunteers to assist with locals with disaster response and recovery. Thanks so much, Steve. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Now, it's recognized. This is the kind of thing that we need to do.
And
it's up to you.
Your volunteers would certainly have been alerted and called out last night.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. We would have been. And that's okay. That's what we would do, and that's what we're doing. Yeah. So it's really nice. We've got great response from our local representatives and senators. A lot of them were planning on being there Monday night, but there's a pesky little thing called the budget that they have to attend to first. But I received quite a bit of emails and conversation from people saying, well, gee, we'd love to be there. I'm not sure if we can. It's all good.
As the caller mentioned a few moments ago, talking about a group that used to be involved in radio communications, training will be available in a variety of different areas from this new nonprofit group, including communications and public relations, but also including disaster psychoservices, volunteer services, services to the armed forces, blood services, a bunch of other areas you get training in.
Oh, absolutely. And we welcome everybody. I've talked to quite a few industry and business, because one of the big things that happens is when an emergency happens, it doesn't just happen near your home. If we had an emergency that took place and maybe put a couple businesses out or industries out, we would be there to help them. We would be there to do, for them what we would do for other agencies. We're there to help that business get back in play, so these people can get back to work, so things can happen. And we're willing to do any kind of training that they may have for us to say, hey, could you just do this for us? So we have that. We've also talked to a lot of churches. We have a couple of churches who are really, really interested in doing this with us. In fact, I had it in Sunday's bulletin and stuff about it, because, being a former pastor myself, I'll tell you what, one of the things that we always talk about is, we always go on mission trips and we do different things for different people in other areas. But the one thing I tell everybody who goes on those kind of things, you have to be okay before you can help somebody else. So we're quick to say, hey, let's make sure that these areas are prepared or fixed because they had a problem. But we got to make sure that we can take care of our own hometown too. We got to make sure that if your neighbor or your family member has a problem, that you and other people have the training and the experience to go in and be able to help that out. So what we're asking people to do is, and these churches as well, is, hey, let's get together. Get your people trained. Even if in areas that you want to take. In fact, you can take some of this training with you into the mission field. Mm-hmm. You can take some of this training wherever you go. It will be needed. It will be cared for. Things like Neighborhood Watch. A lot of people go, well, I'm doing Neighborhood Watch. Okay. How's that going? One of the things that we offer, to be a member of a Pennsylvania Volunteers, we require several things. Number one, clearances. And we provide you how to get that for free. We need criminal history clearance and we need child clearance. Because if you're going to do things for other people, you want to make sure that you're the right kind of people to do this.
Standard procedure these days.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to. The third thing that we have is, people ask me, well, is there a cost to belong to Pennsylvania Volunteers? Yes. $25 a year. But you know what we do with it? 100% of that money. We have insurance on you. So we cover you for $1 to $2 million worth of liability insurance so that, you know, you're out doing something. You're out doing neighborhood watch, or you're out helping with something. You scratch somebody's Lexus. They're not going to sue you, okay, because we have the coverage to protect from that kind of thing. You do something, somebody ends up getting hurt because of it. They're not going to. We have the coverage to cover that for you.
Now, you have a session coming up this Monday. Here we are. It's Thursday already.
I know.
Week goes fast when you have a holiday in the middle of the week. This coming Monday, which is July 10th, there's a meeting. There'll actually be some initial training at this meeting at the American Legion Post in Lindora, which is at the top of the hill there in Lindora.
Big tank.
Back behind
the big tank.
Yeah. Do you have a timetable for being able to be fully organized and ready to go, or are you at that stage already?
We're pretty much at that stage already. We're going to be talking on Monday night about when the CERT training is going to be starting, when the Red Cross training is going to be started. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, but it will take a little bit of, you know, commitment to do that. It may
CERT
be a couple hours.
There's a lot of acronyms here. I'm going to make sure people aren't lost. That stands for Community Emergency Response Team.
Yes.
CERT, right?
Yes.
What about PEMA and FEMA? That's Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, Federal Emergency Management Agency. Are PEMA and FEMA on board with this organization?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that's who does the CERT training.
Ah, well, there you
okay.
Go.
Yeah. And, you know, if you go in the natural progression, it's PEMA is closest to us. So when Steve Weishaus or county commissioners or whatever need assistance from a state level, they go through PEMA. If it's more than PEMA can handle, then they can call FEMA. Okay? And before FEMA takes any action, then Homeland Security will get involved. Okay? So to make this all work, everyone's involved and everyone is supporting this. We have just received unbelievable, we haven't had a negative about this yet because we're helping our own people, you know.
Yeah.
And what's not better than you know, helping your neighbors or your family or
pets too. People don't forget about pets. They are sometimes die or are badly hurt in disasters.
We have a special program for that. In fact, I just dropped off a bunch of our flyers in Braille to the Blind Association here in Butler. I went down and spoke with the director down there, and I dropped off two different flyers. One is on how to take care of your pets during a disaster, and the other one is for senior citizens. What to do? Because it's not just pets. It's what do you do with kids? What if you have a little kid, a little child? I mean, I have grandchildren. What do you do with them in an emergency? How do you handle that? How do you keep them busy? What about seniors? Or what about people with disabilities? So we have programs for all of these kind of things saying, hey, we want to make sure you're aware. And you hear a lot of times about, well, you know, what you need to do is get ready to bug out. No. As a former policeman, I can tell you, if you're a retired policeman, I can tell you the last thing in the world we want you to do is bug out. If it's possible, we want you to dig in. We want you to stay at home, but make sure you have the things that you need. Once again, we can come and talk to you and help you set that up and tell you this is what you're going to need. This is how it works. This is what's going on. Because we genuinely care about you.
We're talking about the Pennsylvania Volunteers, Inc., inviting folks to a session this coming Monday evening, 6:30, I guess, on the way.
6:30 is when it starts.
Do you have a website or page where people can get more information about your nonprofit organization?
Yeah, you can. We have a Facebook page up. The web page, because we had to add some things on there. It's back. We had to pull it off because we have to put some things on there for FEMA and Homeland Security because, you know, we want to make sure everything is, you know, absolutely correctly done. And so we pulled it off. Instead of just adding to it, we wanted to make sure it's right. But you can go on Facebook, and we're on there under, you know, Pennsylvania Volunteers. And we have all of our information there. We have, anything that you might want to hear or know. In fact, you can email me if you want. My email is rich. That's creative, huh? rich@pavolunteers.org. Rich@pavolunteers.org. You just email me directly. I'll get right back to you.
Do you think at some point, last question, then I got to let you go here. Do you think at some point in the future, I notice you have a shirt, where you have like a hat or a shirt or something with the logo, identifying logo of the...
Of those who are members?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We'll have that. We'll have vests. We'll have... In other words, there'll probably be a standard form of a bright-colored vest. It'll have... If you're CERT trained, it'll have CERT on it. If you're Red Cross trained, it'll have a Red Cross patch. It'll have whatever you're trained into doing. And, like I said, Butler County is going to be the benchmark county of doing all of this. From here, we're hoping and we're going to be planning on reaching out to all of Region 13, which is western Pennsylvania from Mercer County down, and then eventually head north. And we're being watched quite, you know, well and with a lot of support from all over the state because they're going, you're doing exactly what a lot of groups have tried but not made it because they've been too selective and says, we're only going to do training in this. Instead of doing an umbrella thing, it says, let's get anybody trained, however you want to do that. You know, what are you interested in? Okay, because some people will say, well, I'm really interested in helping with the medical end of it. Some people will say, I'm interested in helping with ministry in action, which is what we have. We're trying to involving the churches and the people that go to the churches. So, you know, if they do that and they go, oh, you know what, maybe I don't want to do anything with the medical part, but I'd like to do stuff maybe with the police departments and the sheriff's department, you know, or whatever, that kind of directing traffic and stuff. Okay, no problem. You want to make the switch? We'll make sure you're trained and take you through it.
Session open to anyone and everyone this coming Monday evening at 6:30 at American Legion Post in Lindora. Rich Wilson is the statewide vice president of Pennsylvania Volunteers visiting with us here today. He's a Butler guy. Rich, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks you so much.
It's a pretty neat thing you're doing here.
Hey, well, you know what? It's about taking care of our own community, and today more than any. And if any of you haven't read, which I can't imagine you haven't, the ButlerRadio.com news sheet, top story is all about this. And if you can, make sure you pick it up. I pick it up every day because it's pretty cool. I read it all the time. But it talks about this very same thing.
Happened here last night.
Yes, it did.
More to come on It's Your Turn. Kent Shoemaker will be with us on the next segment of the program. Don't forget tomorrow, all about Saxonburg, getting ready to celebrate its 185th birthday. And we'll have two guests in particular with us tomorrow, Clifford Zink, who is the author of The Roebling Legacy, on how John Roebling founded Saxonburg and then went on to invent the wire rope used for suspension bridges today. And also Fred Caesar will be with us tomorrow from the Saxonburg Historical and Restoration Commission. So a lot about Saxonburg. It's a great history of that town. That's tomorrow. Okay. Kent Shoemaker coming up next on It's Your Turn. We'll be back after these words.
The Battery Warehouse store at 469 West Cunningham Street in Butler is temporarily closed due to flooding. Please visit our Katanning location on Route 422.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
The Musical Theater Guild of Butler presents its summer show, The Hilarious and Wonderful Nonsense. Show performances July 14, 15, 16, and 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. The Friday and Saturday night performances are at 7:30, the Sunday matinees at 3. All shows at the William A. Leonard Performance Hall, the MTG Production Center at the far end of Butler Memorial Park. Don't miss Paula Baptiste, Tammy Erkman, Holly Furman, Chris Lilly, and Samantha Roth in Nonsense, the summer show of the Musical Theater Guild of Butler. Buy tickets online at mtgbutler.org or by phone at 28-STAGE. Welcome back, friends. Great to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today, and always nice to shake hands, which I did a couple of minutes ago with our next guest, Kent Shoemaker, is here from the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department. And it must be time for your big event, which you hold every summer, Ken.
Yeah, this is the 17th year. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
So we're pretty excited about it. The Mega Cruise is always at the Butler County Airport. Of course, now we call it the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional
Airport.
That's
right. It changed the name officially a year ago. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
The Mega Cruise, and it is mega, no doubt about that. It's this weekend, right?
Yes, Saturday, mm-hmm. July 8th.
So. I'm still confused, because July started on a Saturday. That's confusing enough. We had a weekend, and it was a regular work day, and then it was the 4th of July, and I'm just all confused. So.
I feel like this is Monday.
It does, yeah. And it's Thursday, for goodness sake.
Right, right.
So this Saturday, July 8th, by the way, the weather, shaky today and tomorrow. Long-range forecast looks great for the weekend. So.
Yeah, that's good news. Mm-hmm. That's good news. We hope that holds.
Is this pretty much an all-afternoon, evening affair, Kent?
Well, yeah, things actually kick off at noon for the cars. They can start coming in at noon, although we get some that arrive much earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go all the way through till about 10 o'clock at 9:45. We have the Thunder Over the Runway fireworks. Yeah, so that always brings a big crowd out. So, yeah, it's an all-day event.
Where do the cars park?
Well,
I'm talking about the cruise cars. Now.
Right. The airport authority is really nice to work with. They've been so cooperative. They actually give us the whole tarmac between the hangars and the restaurant, which is quite a large area.
Mm-hmm.
And if things don't get too wet, we can then extend on out into the grass. And so it gives us a large parking area.
Mm-hmm. If you're coming with a car, with a cruise car, in for free, right?
Yeah, we appreciate you coming. We appreciate you showing your vehicle. And, of course, that could be a car, could be a truck, could be a motorcycle, could be a tractor.
Does it have
and
to be any particular vintage? Or?
No, it's open to just about anything that any type of show vehicle, including airplanes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
okay.
If somebody wanted to bring their plane.
That's right. You do have a runway right there.
Right. Well, that's part of the fun. You know, I had one person tell me they like to come early. They set up an easy up tent, and they just enjoy watching the planes landing and just spending the day at the airport. So,
you know, I can understand that. I have been fascinated by watching planes take off and land since I was a kid. And it still fascinates me. I love to watch it.
Right, right. It fascinates me also, and I fly. So mm-hmm. it just amazes me every time, especially those large transport planes take to the air. It's just amazing.
You used to be able to do that at Pittsburgh International Airport, but since they got the new terminal 15, 20 years ago, whenever it was, you can't do that anymore. Yeah. Not only is there not an observation deck, you're miles away from the runways, even when you're at the airport.
Right, right. That's true.
Well, you can this Saturday, by gosh, down at Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport in Penn Township. We're using the official new name because that is actually the name now.
Right.
And, you know, I found out, I was talking with the airport manager, I guess it must have been about a year ago when they officially changed the name, mm-hmm. and he told me that originally, before Pittsburgh International, as we now know it, was built, there was a possibility that the airport in Penn Township could have been the major Pittsburgh airport. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I know it has a lot of nice history.
Would have taken a tremendous development, of course, land acquisition and so on and so forth.
Oh, sure.
But that was the original thought. You have to remember, this was at a time when Pittsburgh was still very smoky. It was a very smoky city. And the thought was, the major airport for Pittsburgh should be out a little bit from the smoky city, and they seriously considered Butler. Now, of course, it turned out to be in Moon Township, which is still several miles from the city.
Right.
But that's where it ended up. But there was a real possibility that it could have been south of Butler. Pretty neat.
Well, I think an airport makes a great location for a car cruise.
It's perfect.
And I think a lot of people who have interest in cars are interested or fascinated with airplanes. So I think they kind of go together.
Now, if you're just going down as an attendee, you're not taking show vehicle for the cruise, there is a it's a token admission fee, really, isn't it?
Right. It's a we asked for a $2 donation, and most people are very willing to give two, and often even will make a larger
keep,
donation.
Keep the change, yeah.
Yeah, keep the change. So they're it's a community event. So people say, "Is this a good fundraiser for you?" My answer would be no. It's not a good fundraiser, but it's a great community event. And hopefully if we get a good crowd and the weather's good and all that, that, yeah, we might make a few dollars that will help with the fire department training, purchase of equipment, repairing equipment. You know, that's ongoing. So if there is any money made, it always goes to a good cause.
Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department's annual Mega Cruise is this Saturday, for those of you joining us a little bit late on the program here today. And if you're going down, just to watch, be an attendee, 2 o'clock, gates will be ready to go for you. And it goes on until after the fireworks, which will obviously be after dark. So
right, but usually we kick them off about 9:45, and yeah, you know, it's a great day. You know, I see a lot of families that come out to this because there's a lot of great food there. We have several food vendors, and there's a lot of things going on. There's a Chinese auction that we have. The baskets are just fabulous. I mean, we've had some great contributions. We have a lady, Mary Corr, who helps us out a lot. She makes several baskets up, and you know, any one of them I'd like to have, truthfully. And there'll be about 15 of those. And, of course, we have the 50-50. So it's just a great evening. You know, it's a great evening.
Now, does all of this take place, the baskets and everything, is that right on the grounds of the airport there?
Right on the grounds. So everything's right there. People come in. All that's in one of the hangars. So it's all centrally located and easy to get to. And we have karaoke in the evening. And that, you know, I'm amazed by how many people come out for that. Scott Behrens has done that for years. His dad used to be very involved with the Penn Township Fire Department. And so in his memory, he comes down and he does the karaoke. And we have people that come from miles and miles just to come and
very
sing.
Popular.
So,
very popular. Yeah.
Some of them are very good. Some of them are not.
Well, that's karaoke.
That's right.
Some of them are not very good, but think they are.
right.
Those are the really funny ones.
Yeah.
What about food? Opportunity to buy, I don't know, a hot dog or something?
Yeah, there's going to be several vendors there. And there's a lot of great food. And, the restaurant's open air in the evening also. And right across the street is the Nixon United Methodist Church. And they always do their chicken dinner when we have our car crews, and you know, they're very generous. Then they in turn help the fire department out. So just a lot going on right there. It's a great Penn Township community event. It's a great Butler County event. And you know, something special this year.
Yeah.
It's the Mega Cruise helmet giveaway. And what that is Kohl's Cares has teamed up with Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh, and they donated bike helmets to the Penn Township Police Department. And they're going to hand out to the kids at the Mega Cruise helmets if they need them. The children have to be present to receive a helmet. So you just can't come up and say, "Hey, I have a grandchild that lives in California, like the helmet." No, that won't work. You got to have the child with you. And representatives from the police department and Kohl's and Children's Hospital will be on hand, and they're going to fit those helmets so that we want to make sure they properly fit.
Mm-hmm.
And come on out to the Mega Cruise and bring the kids and get them sized up for a bicycle helmet. So appreciate the Penn Township Police, the Kohl's Cares and Children's Hospital for doing that. I think that's a neat program.
The Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department puts on this Mega Cruise, and they have a little bit of, and they're happy to do it, believe me, but they have a little bit of extra duty from the typical volunteer fire department, because your station is right next to the airport. In fact, You're right at the end of the runway.
That's true.
And therefore, you're kind of on call in case there's any sort of a need at the airport, any sort of an incident at the airport, whether it's a fire or an accident or whatever. You're right there, and you couldn't be any closer, for goodness sakes. You're right at the end of the runway.
That's true. We're the primary response station for the airport. They've come and visited us a couple times with airplanes. Yeah, it's been several years, but they actually ended up in the backyard of the fire station. But I don't think that can happen anymore. So at least we hope not.
I was reading. I'll tell you what. I better take a break here before I go too much further, and we'll talk a little bit more with Kent about the upcoming mega cruise and some other stuff as well. One of our sponsors on the program is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. I have not finished my spring cleaning. Listeners, have you? I'm started. Many a year when I haven't started by the 4th of July. But if you're still wrapping up, here, I just want to put a bug in your ear. If you got some stuff that's left over when you finish your spring cleaning and you're ready to toss it, you know, into the trash, please consider donating these items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart. It's just south of Butler. You know where the Greater Butler Mart is. They're about four doors up from Friedman's, right in that section of the Greater Butler Mart. There's tons of free parking right outside the door. The drop-off bins for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store are right inside the front door. It could hardly be easier. So clothing, furniture, knickknacks, any items. No TVs, of course, anymore. But they'll put this stuff to good use. Somebody will be able to use it and buy it at a price that they wouldn't ordinarily have been able to afford. And all of the proceeds from the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store stay right here in Butler County, every penny. And that helps to fund the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and their client aid program. So win-win, right? And you were going to throw this stuff away anyway. Don't put it in the landfill. Think about donating. If you got a lot of stuff or big stuff, I talked to a woman a year or so ago who was downsizing. She was moving into a condo, and she had a bunch of stuff, dining room suit and some other stuff. She didn't know what to do with it. I said, call St. Vincent de Paul. They'll come and get it, you know, in their truck, which they did. She was most grateful to me, and all I did was make a suggestion. We stand the tallest when we stoop to help others. That's what they like to say at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Okay, we're talking with Kent Shoemaker. He is actually an officer in the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department. You're vice president, aren't you?
Yeah, vice president, yeah. Safety officer.
And we were talking about the kind of extra duty that they have because of their proximity to the Butler County Airport. I was reading the other day. I've always been fascinated by planes. I'm not a pilot. I've never flown a plane. I've flown a lot, but never piloted a plane.
Right.
But I was reading something I never knew about the runway numbers, the numbers at the end of a runway at an airport. And, you know, you see this 26R or, you know, 18L or whatever it is. So I was reading up on what that all means, and it was fascinating to me. It's the degrees on a compass.
Right.
Which is what that refers to. So if it's 26R, for example, if there were two runways at an airport, it would be the right one, first of all. And you would have a heading of, they always drop the one. Am I right on that? So it would be 126, yeah. But they drop the one, so it's 26.
26 is...
And if you're coming the other way, it's always exactly 18 degrees apart, which I never knew. So if you were coming the other way from 26, it would be 8, right?
Right, runway 8.
It would be, if you're coming in the other direction, it would be runway 8. I find that kind of information fascinating. That's old hat to you. You're a pilot, for goodness sake.
Sure. At Butler, when you land on 26, you're basically landing to the west. 270 degrees is cardinal west. You know, so 26 is 260. And the reciprocal, or not the reciprocal, but the opposite would be runway 8. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
Never knew that. I never knew what the R and L meant either, and I felt so stupid because there are some huge airports like O'Hare in Chicago or something like that, that maybe have three parallel runways.
Yeah, left,
so
right,
that would
middle.
Be, 26R, 26L, 26C, which means center.
Center, yeah.
But that's how the pilot knows which one would be coming in. It was such an obvious explanation. It was one of those things where I, bong, ate myself in the head. I just never knew that before.
Yeah, it's and if you go to a lot of the airports, they'll have a compass row painted right on the tarmac. And you can line your plane up on that compass row and set your compass so that that it's accurate.
Because that's what you use as a pilot for your what you get your heading from, your compass, right?
There's so many electronics today, and you have so much input. But, we were just talking, our compass has been acting a little squirrely. So we said, well, it's a pretty basic instrument, and you have a lot of other things you can use, but you still like to have that instrument. When everything else fails, the compass is there. So hopefully, you get that fixed, and you rely on that. You do. Yeah. You set a lot of your instruments to that.
Well, I've always wondered about those numbers, and you see them if you're flying in a commercial aircraft, and you're taxiing. You can look out and you see these numbers and all these other little signs that are, rather cryptic, and you got the blue lights, you got the yellow lights, you got the red lights. What's all that mean? So I'm boating up on it, Kent. By next year, I'll have all the info here.
Well, the one light you want to pay real close attention to in a landing system, called a VASI, and there's four lights, and they can be white or they can be red or a mixture of them. And you want all white, because if they're all white, you're all right. If they're all red, you're dead. And that just tells you you're
easy way
in
to remember,
the wrong angle.
How long have you been a pilot?
About 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, do you, I'll show you how little I know, do you need a different pilot's license if you're flying a single-engine plane as opposed to a twin-engine, for example?
Yeah, you need a type certificate. So when you get your private pilot license, you're licensed to fly a single-engine land. But if you want to fly multi-engine, then you have to get a certification for multi-engine. And even if you go from a simple single-engine airplane to a complex single-engine airplane, which would have a variable pitch prop and retracting gears and that, you have to get checked out in that also.
Wow, okay.
So you get checked out, and I think a lot of it, too, is insurance. They want to make sure you know how to fly something like that.
Hey, makes sense. We do that for driver's licenses now. We didn't used to, but now if you want to drive a big truck, you need a CDL, commercial license.
Right.
You need a special license if you want to drive a motorcycle as opposed to a car. So it's understandable. Right. One other point I wanted to mention about aviation. She's been in the news for the past day. Amelia Earhart, there was another story that they, some picture turned up and the guy thinks it's her. I think it's hogwash myself, but once again, I was doing a little investigating. Amelia Earhart trained at your airport, Pittsburgh Butler Regional Airport.
It was a grass strip then.
She did training there, which it just amazes me that she that she would do training there. She also had her the plane that she used for many of these record-breaking flights was a Lockheed. What was it? The Lockheed Electrus. I forget the exact model. But she had it fitted for extra gas tanks at Butler Airport. Isn't that amazing?
It is. We've got a lot of history there.
Yeah. I think when you can put a local angle into a story like that, I think it's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if you want to stop out at the Pittsburgh Butler Regional Airport, that's the official name now. Used to be Butler County Airport. Penn Township, Route 8 South. That's what, 5-6 miles south of Butler?
Yeah.
About that.
About 5 miles south.
You turn on Airport Road, naturally, and in case you've never been back there, probably a mile, maybe a half a mile, I don't know.
Yeah, it runs right into the airport.
Yeah, you can't miss it, And just in case you're not sure and you don't notice the hangars or the runway or anything else, there's a helicopter right there at the entrance to the parking lot. From, it looks like, Vietnam era? Maybe?
Right, right.
Is that what it is?
I want to say it's an Apache. It's beautiful. It's up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Lighted up at night.
I marvel at how they got it up on that stick because it looks like it's coming in for a landing. Okay. That's where this all takes place, the Penn Township Fire Department Mega Cruise. Family event we're talking about this Saturday, right?
Exactly.
Take
Bring the family out. Come on out. Look at some beautiful cars, trucks. motorcycles, tractors, airplanes, and have some great food. Music all afternoon, evening, plus the karaoke and a lot of other special events going on. So it's just a nice day. Come on out and have some fun.
Good. We'll talk a couple of minutes more with Kent in just a moment or so. We need to check midday lottery numbers, and we'll be back to do that right after these words. Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 15, 1, 5. The pick 3 is 7, 5, 8, 7, 58. Pick 4, 7, 3, 5, 5. And the pick 5, 5, 0, 8, 1, 8. The wild ball is 2 for each of these. The treasure hunt is 4, 13, 15, 25, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Welcome back, folks. We have a caller who has a little bit more history, another little interesting tidbit of history about the Butler Airport. Caller, go right ahead. What you were sharing with me off the air there?
Why, CG, Mr. Piper Cub up in Bradford, Pennsylvania, got into business with through a $400 investment in the CG Taylor Craft Aircraft Corporation in Bradford, Pennsylvania. Then they fell out, and Piper went on his way to build Piper Cubs, and C.G. Taylor came down to Butler Airport and built Taylor Crafts down there for a period
of
time.
Absolutely.
And then from then on, he moved on to Alliance, Ohio, and built them out there.
And that is a very famous, if you're not familiar with aircraft, that's very, very famous, the Taylor Crafts.
Yes.
Yeah. Another bit of history about Butler Airport. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate you calling in with that.
Tell Kent I said hi. I know I'm George.
Okay.
Is the name.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks, George. Thank you. We're getting close to the end of our time together here. I wanted to go over the pertinent details of the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department mega cruise. And when we say mega, this is big, folks. You get a lot of vehicles there, right, on Saturday?
Yeah, anywhere from 600 to 1,000 vehicles.
You got the whole runway, for goodness sakes. You can line them up from one end to the other. The tarmac, I should say, actually, but kind of off the edge of the runway. It's this Saturday. What are the hours again, Kent?
The gates open up for the show cars at noon, although some of them show up much earlier than that. And the gates for pedestrians open at 2. So, yeah, and we asked for a $2 donation, and come on out. I just wanted to take a quick moment, if I could. And
please.
There's some people that really help us with this, the fireworks. Tom Henry Chevrolet is not even in our township, but he's helped us since the beginning. Just a great person there, great company. Tom Henry Chevrolet and Deal Automotive, same thing. Just so supportive of community events. And the Hardwood Cafe, they've just been there year after year after year, all those groups. And Honda North also. And
yeah, they're your stage sponsor this year, right, Honda North? Yeah.
Right, right. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of groups there, like the Shriners will be there. All, you know, they help kids. You know, the VFW is going to be there, and they're going to have an RV there that talks with veterans about all the programs that are out there for veterans, which is, I think, is a great thing. The Boy Scouts are going to be there. They're going to be selling water, you know. So there's a lot of community groups that are going to be there besides the fire department. So that's kind of nice. So we thank all those people who helped us. And, you know, I have a Mega Cruise booklet. We give them out to, like, the first 500 cars along with a dash plaque. But you can see it's loaded with all types of sponsors. And, you know, I don't think I can mention all of them here in the air, but, boy, it sure is nice that these people in the community step up and they help the fire department. And they don't just help the fire department. They help so many other groups in the community. So, you know, it just amazes me that all that goes on in these communities, all that good.
A lot of pride in Penn Township.
Yeah, a lot of pride.
Community of Penn Township. It's just south of Butler, and it's, it all takes place at the airport this Saturday afternoon and into the evening, because they wrap it up at dusk with the... What do you call that fire?
Thunder over the runway.
Thunder over the runway. That's it. Yeah. Mortar shells will be going off. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Kent, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Always
today.
Good to come by.
Yeah. Coming up on tomorrow's program, among our guests, we'll be talking about the upcoming celebration of Saxonburg. They'll be marking their 185th anniversary later this year. We'll